Today, we complete our series on being rooted in gratitude and growing in Christ, that 130th anniversary celebration. We'll continue celebrating this 130th celebration as time goes on and conclude today our final historical video. I heard some of you asking when that might be. That will be today. For the last 5 weeks, we've been exploring what that means to be rooted in gratitude and growing in Christ. And some of you have taken the gratitude challenge. That is to be writing a note of gratitude or thanks each of the days in the month of November. Some of you have done it as a daily practice, and I've heard some of you tell me it's been a nudge occasionally as something bubbled up to thank a particular person in your life. I want to remind you there's 10 days left in November, 10 opportunities to continue this challenge, and thank you notes out in the lobby to facilitate it as well. There are suggestions in the meditations within the bulletin, but I've also heard some of you say there have been people who've bubbled up inside of you that you've wanted to offer gratitude to, and for this, I am thankful. Today is also the last Sunday of the liturgical church year. Can you believe it? Next week, we move into Advent already and prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. For the last 91 years, the church has ended the church year with a declaration that Jesus is ruler of our lives, here and now, as well as our understanding of a future time and eschatology. Across those years, we've imagined Jesus as the highest ruler we know, a king, and we've called it Christ the King Sunday. More than king, we acknowledge and affirm God's rule as ultimate, even when our language struggles to keep up with it a bit. We've sought to declare that Jesus' way of living in the world is the reign that our lives seek to usher in. Most recently, as a nation, we've thought a lot about what kind of leaders we are looking for, and as a larger world, as well, chiming in on what kind of leaders are desirable and undesirable, from presidents to kings, from queens to prime ministers, sultans to dictators, emperors to supreme leaders. Do you recognize some of them up there among them? As a world, we've clamored to understand various kinds of leadership. This morning's gospel lesson gives us yet another image of leadership, how we might picture God's reign in our lives. God as gardener. I suggested last week that plants and trees crop up in almost every book in the Bible. They're in each of the gospels, almost all the epistles, and most of the Old Testament. We don't get a lot about watering or providing sun, a little bit more about fertilization that's needed, a little bit about encouragement, but most of the metaphors related to vegetation talk about pruning, pruning as a method to increase growth, pruning as a way of removing the dead portions or the dying portions of the plant. Pruning to spurn health, a tower of sticks, does not a plant make. Pruning takes talent and knowledge. I think we've all done that at least once, if we're being honest. You need to know a plant before you start removing the seemingly unnecessary branches. I want to suggest that one of the differences between kings and gardeners is their relation to their subjects. Kings can rule from on high and far away. Kings could be near and familiar with subjects, but the relationship does not require it. Gardeners, on the other hand, need to be quite close to their subjects to care for them. Pruning requires closeness, hands-on kind of relationship. Jesus describes the closeness this way: I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer, cutting off all the vines that don't grow. He goes on further to say, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide with me. To abide with Jesus is not an inactive process, not the kind of thing we do once and done and completed for the rest of our lives. An everyday kind of engagement. It's caring for God's people when it's raining and when it's sunning, when it's sunny. It's seeking God's way when we understand what's going on, as well as when we're filled with more questions than convictions. Abiding is more than a good song that we sing. It is a way of living in God's reign. Now, for those of us who value autonomy and independence, abiding, depending on Jesus, might not be our first inclination, but it is certainly our healthiest one. At our house, we have a small kitchen garden. We grow basil and rosemary and mint. And with each of these plants, I wonder, will their growth be enough to keep up with our culinary needs? Each and every time we pull a bit of rosemary, some of the leaves of basil, or a sprig of mint, it's amazing. It's not that we have less, it's that the growth increases. Similarly, when I remove those woody stems that are no longer producing, I'm not met with emptiness in that window box, but rather, especially the mint, is overgrowing the box. I think this is a much easier process to talk about with my kitchen plants than it is with us. But for a moment, imagine that Christ is indeed the gardener of our lives, and we are in need of care, of pruning, and the like. By allowing this to happen, we grow stronger and bear more fruit for the kingdom of God. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, we pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you'll learn how to do your work. We pray you'll have enough strength to stick it out over the long haul. I love this part. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It's the strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy. Thanking the Father who made us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Paul offers this blessing to the early church and to us. We who need to hear again that God is on the throne, even when it feels like our worlds are shaking and turning in ways we don't understand. Our God, who brought forth creation, has shown up in Jesus and is bringing forth God's kingdom, a reign. God who is and was and will be. Even, perhaps especially, if we're being pruned and the world around us is not as we think it ought to be. I found myself thinking an awful lot about the concept of Jesus for president recently. The final numbers for 2016 are not in yet, but in 2012, write-in ballots, 1.4 million people voted for Jesus. Did you know that? Don't know what it'll be for 2016 yet, but 4 years ago, 1.4 million people voted for Jesus. I'm not sure that's exactly the kind of leadership Jesus is looking for, but I do know Jesus is in the habit of calling us again and again into that kind of gardening, intimate relationship, to join in the insistent, consistent, and persistent solidarity with those who haven't always gotten the attention of our leadership. That's the kind of life we choose if we elect Jesus for president. It is to say, often in the Gospels, Jesus has said, "What kind of leader are you looking for?" And throughout the Gospel, they respond by saying to another leader, "Not that kind." Perhaps we've said that in 2016 as well. Not the kind who instead demonstrates power, but rather offers vulnerability. Jesus might not be the one who gets elected, but he's indeed the kind of leader that we need. You might have had the same kind of weather that I did yesterday, with a little bit of cold and a little bit of sleet. Cold weather is the season of pruning. As we think about choosing Jesus as our King, let us proclaim that he reigns forever. Return to our relationship with him as our gardener, the one who knows us well enough to prune off the rough spots that we have. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.